So, as you know me, my name is Jason Coggins. I'm the head of sales at Gimel for UK and Europe. I'm also joined by Mike Nicholas.
Yeah, I'm Mike. I'm the operations director at Office Labs.
Thanks for joining me, Mike. It's great to see you and meet you in person finally.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Long time on email.
It has, yeah, and the phone.
Yeah,
great. Thanks for coming in and speaking with me. So I just wanted to sort of kick things off lightly. We've been talking about AI and data, right? What do you think are some of the main challenges that you see with your customers when they're looking to adopt AI? Like what do you think is some of the, you know, the pitfalls that they could end up having to deal with quite soon if they really push AI hard within their organizations?
I think a lot of what people are concerned about is more around the security side of things, customer security, especially organizations that work with other partners, and they're concerned about what data they're holding and whether that information will get out via AI.
Good point. Yeah. So almost like third party risk or other organizations that may have access to it.
Yeah. And organizations that are bound by other restrictions. And I think they're worried about how AI will be in their customers.
I see. Do you mean perhaps other organizations that are abroad or?
Yes, organisations abroad, but organisations that are more regulated, that are using third-party people, they're worried about their third-party partners and how they're holding their data.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Managing the data.
Yeah, AI security is a massive problem, something that we're seeing organisations struggle with.
Yep.
As I think we've been discussing with Graham, that, you know, it's not uncommon for organisations to explore Copilot or roll out an AI mechanism and to realise they're exposing all of the data within the organisation to every single employee within the business.
Yep.
That's a bit of a problem.
It is a big problem. And I had a conversation this morning that was exactly the same. They're not rolling AI out because they're not sure what data they have.
Interesting.
So they need to understand what data they have and what security is on that data before they actually even contemplate using AI.
I see. What stage did they get to before they realised that? Have they even started looking at it seriously, or is it more just window shopping?
I think they're window shopping. I think they've dabbled in AI, and using AI is a very loose term. I think they actually just want some automation, but they're classing it as AI, like a lot of people do at the moment. Automation is thrown under the banner of AI. So,
yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, on that subject, right, in terms of vendors. And I mean, you've been in the industry for a long time. I know that.
Very long time.
How many years?
Oh, more than I care to think about. 30.
Probably. Oh, quite a lot then.
Okay. Yeah.
So what are your biggest bugbearers that vendors get wrong? Like, where do you think, or it might be vendors, it might be the channel, it might be the industry as a whole. Like, what is it that really gets under your skin in your role?
I think people don't actually listen to what the customer's requirements are.
Good point.
They have a solution for something that worked in a customer, or a number of customers, and they then assume that everybody will be able to use that solution. Whereas actually, in fact, especially with the way that the IT industry is, everything's customized now, and 100%. Everyone needs different solutions for different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we discussed this, Graham, didn't we? When we talked about, it's not a cookie cutter operation. Like, every single organization has their own, you know, unique problems that require perhaps more professional services than perhaps software, or vice versa.
Yeah, I think IT needs to change. I think IT now needs to move into business analytics.
Yeah.
And to understand what the business requirement is for those solutions to go in. I think gone are the days where you could just buy something, put it in, and change your business around it. I think it's the opposite way around now. But I do think there's a lot of people in the industry that hold on to the old days where they just say, this is what you need, buy this solution, and the customer only ever used 20% of it.
I see what you mean. Yeah. So more like selling shelfware is something that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've all seen that, haven't we?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I think the biggest issue that people have is the age old story in the UK where you've got as much data space as you like. Mm. So people aren't getting rid of data. Now it's, especially with AI, it's becoming a problem because they're not cleansing data. In the old days with physical hard drives, you had to cleanse the data because you ran out of space. And it just stopped. Whereas now you just pay more money and it carries on. And there's no control over the data you've got and where you keep it. And I think especially with how quick you can spin up SaaS solutions, there's data silos just dotted around everywhere, and it's really difficult to keep the governance of it, because the more governance you put on it, the end users then find a way around it, and then you've got another problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. So adoption really is real.
100% adoption is the key thing. And adoption, people put training down as the way to make adoption work, and it's not about that. It's about the inclusion and the understanding of how that's going to benefit people in their day-to-day working, not the business's day-to-day, in their personal day-to-day working.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, far too often we see organisations just buy tech, sling it at the users, hardly any onboarding sometimes we see, you know.
2-hour training course.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all they do. Yeah. And they go, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But no one really understands why they're doing it.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah, I think onboarding is the key thing.
Massive problem. Yeah. Certainly customer success teams, you know, should rely heavily on onboarding and making sure that their users are.
Yeah.
And using it effectively. Like, you shouldn't be just checking in, you know, when the renewal's due. It's like, is this actually working to solve the problem that you bought it for in the first place? And that should be asked regularly throughout the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every person that's touching that software, everybody needs to have a conversation to understand why they're using it and how they can get trained if they're not using it correctly.
Yeah.
So it's a management thing as well as an adoption thing.
Yeah. I think sometimes vendors all too easily do the technical onboarding, but there's so much more to it. It's technical and functional success of the solution that's been used. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mike, here we are in the UK in 2025. If you turn on the news, it's obvious to see that some verticals, or I use the word verticals, are in financial pain. I think about local authorities. I think I read somewhere that 43% of local authorities are really struggling financially at the minute. And of course, with the lack of funds, and not just local authorities, but just businesses in general, you know, we tend to see breaches increase, certainly by the insider sometimes that may have access to data. I'm thinking about that aggrieved ex-employee or similar. Is this something you think is a growing problem?
Yes, I do. I think because the more data people are holding, the more risk that they've got. And I think especially the large organisations, they don't understand they actually probably could save money if they did a bit of a data cleanse. Not only would they save money, they would reduce their security risk. So if they have information sensitive information of any description, if they've got that, then if they're not cleaning it down on a regular basis, they've obviously got more opportunity for people to find it.
Got you.
Especially internal stuff.
Do you think the sort of status quo is that they wait until something bad goes wrong before they look at that?
I think that's the general consensus. I think, yeah, it's not until it actually happens to people do they clear it down. And you speak to a lot of people, they keep their information just in case they need it.
Mm.
And the reality is they probably haven't touched it. They probably don't even know the last time they opened half of their documents.
Yeah, right.
And why are they keeping it?
Absolutely, yeah. Big question to be asked. Do you think it's because of the cost that's involved with looking at data that's historic, or they're concerned about, you know, it resides on a server that's no longer in service, or and it's a big problem to get rid of it? Like, what is the fundamental reasons why they're not?
I think it's just ease. I think they because it's easy to keep it, and it's easier just to extend the storage requirements, which is per month only only a handful of pounds to do that.
Mm.
Whereas if it was expensive for them to store it, they would definitely cleanse it.
Makes sense, yeah. So there's two schools of thought, I think, when you speak to vendors that are pushing their AI offering, right? Mm-hmm. Some vendors are like, do you know what? This is great. Let's ingest all of your data and we'll help you get to that answer quicker. You know, we like that big Google for your organization. And think of all the benefits of this. Like, you can do all this cool stuff and you'll save time, blah, blah, blah.
Right? Yeah.
The other school of thought is that, you know, that's the wrong thing to do. Like, we're super, aligned with zero trust. Only ensure that those are the users that should have access to the data, should have access to it, and nothing else. Like, what are your thoughts? Do you think that the benefits outweigh the cons in terms of AI? And
No, I still think people need to be very careful about what data they hold. I think quite the opposite. I think in the UK in particular, people aren't sensitive enough about their data. Yes, the large organization and the enterprise organizations have their data security in place.
Yes.
But when you get down to the mid-market and small business, I don't think they even think there's a risk with what they're holding. I don't think they realize what the problem is until there is a problem. And at that point, it's too late. And I think there's a huge missed opportunity in that mid-market section to be able to make the data more secure before you pull AI in.
I completely agree. Like, if you're like a blue chip bank, for example, of course you're going to go and buy some significant, you know, security mechanisms to ensure your data is, you know, locked down and secure and that's the good stuff. But yeah, I think you're right. In that mid space, like in that mid market, you know, it's underserved.
Yes,
definitely.
I don't think they haven't got the people and the skills internally to understand it. It's most of the enterprise companies have security people, whereas yes, mid-market don't, and it's reliant on the IT person or the operations director to worry about the security, and I don't think they understand the problem that they've got.
That's right. Yeah, so that one IT guy is wearing many hats, and
yeah
absolutely. And so in our data governance space, you know, they're not often that well versed in data governance, and something that our sales journey requires quite a bit of education.
Yes.
To get the organisation to be where they need to be to fix some of the problems and challenges they've got.
Yeah.
One of the subjects that's certainly close to my heart is subject access requests.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm seeing organisations really struggle with the amount of subject access requests that they're receiving, certainly in medical fields and that kind of thing. Is that something you see in your organisation?
We don't see a lot of it, to be fair. And I think, again, that's because people deal with it in a different way. So we're not asked about it.
Yeah.
And I think when we are asked, it's because the customer doesn't know how to get to that information.
Yeah, absolutely. Or what's required when they get the request in.
Yes, correct.
Big risk.
Yeah.
Why data governance is more relevant than ever. High-level conversation on drivers like AI, regulatory shifts, hybrid work, data sprawl.
Regulatory shifts. Yeah, I think that's a key thing. I think it's supply chain as well. As I was saying just now, I think the supply chain doesn't understand it again when they've got partners that they're using and they're being asked to fill out all these huge documents. Say, are you security? Is your data security correct?
Mm.
And they don't understand it. And I'm talking about the mid-market again now. Okay. And they look at it and go, well, I'm not quite sure. Yes, there's companies out there, especially IT companies that are ISO 27001. Absolutely, they get it.
Sure.
But not everyone in that sector does. And I think I'm probably talking about more professional services.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not sure they understand 100%.
So how does that present itself to your organization? Like, what, is it that they just refuse to move forward with XY service or product, or because they don't understand it, or is it something that you've come to realize through your triage or early qualification conversation with the customer that this is a problem?
Well, people are coming to us to understand what they need to do. Mm. They are being asked to conform to a certain standard or to supply information, and they're coming to us to say, right, how do I do this? And then that's when we're uncovering the fact that they have unstructured data. They're not sure about what classifications they've got. They're not sure how old their data is, where their data is.
Yeah.
And they're in a bit of a panic. They're trying to understand how they can get back. They don't want to lose that contract, or they don't want to lose that customer. So they're desperate to do it really quickly.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there isn't a quick fix. You know, it's going to take time if you haven't done it early enough.
Mm. Yeah, it makes sense. One of the challenges I've seen with organizations is where perhaps they're looking to classify data that's been created or they have already that's, you know, in usage right now or that's stale.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's no consistency, or it's subjective as to who is classifying the data, as to what regulation governs it, like what's sensitive. And that's something I think is a real problem. Like, there's no consistency, there's no standardization of data regulation and governance.
Correct.
Is that something you're seeing in your practice?
Yes, I think there's a lot of different views, especially from the larger organization, of how you should classify your data. It would be a lot easier if there is a standardized data classification, because that would make it easier for everyone.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is we're having to customize each engagement that we have to get to where that customer needs to be because of what they're being asked to adhere to.
With you. So is that because you're dealing with quite a lot of different verticals and some different regulations, of course?
Yeah, I think definitely in verticals, there's some similarities. But again, I don't even think in some of those verticals that they're even using the same standards. Their interpretation of the standards that they're reading.
I see. So it's the individual's interpretation of the standard that is the problem?
Yes.
Got you.
Yeah.
So having a mechanism that you know would uniformly categorize and discover data based on its particular regulation that's pertinent to that vertical would be a big win for you. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that would be it would be a huge starting point for everybody to be able to understand. Right, if there was a framework for them to adhere to, you know, they say we've met this standard. If they were asked to do something different, at least they've got a starting point. Whereas at the moment, I think people get a bit lost in how to even go about getting this classification in place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more, shall I say. And moving just back to AI again, we're talking a lot about AI today. AI. I think this, you go on Google, you go on online, or you go to the industry. Like, there's lots of vendors out there pushing their AI offering. It's a very crowded space at the minute.
It is.
I feel like some of the problems that are being touted to fix with AI, like some of the vendors that they're marketing, is not really aligned with where people want to spend their money. So what I mean by that is, I think some vendors, offer an AI mechanism to fix a problem that doesn't justify the cost.
Yes.
I think that's because of the amount of problems that you can fix with AI. Some are worth fixing, some are not. Some are worth, juice is worth a squeeze, some aren't.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know about your opinion on that and whether you think this is something that's a problem in the industry.
Yeah, I think, I think AI is banded around as a generalized statement. And some of the things that are being fixed, inverted commas, are processes. And if you're talking vendor solutions, sometimes it's just a process that's been made better for the vendor, and they've classified it as AI in their own piece of software.
That's right. I've seen that.
Yeah. And I think, I think it's just a misconception. I think that was probably on the roadmap anyway. So they've classed it as AI to keep up with the trends.
The term digital transformation. Okay. We hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the government in the UK here is really pushing government organizations and public funded organizations to move to the cloud, right? To digitally transform by 2030. I think it's a subjective term. I think everyone has their own opinions on what that looks like for each organization.
Yep.
I'm keen to get your thoughts, and I can certainly share mine as well.
Yeah, so I think from Office Lab's point of view, I think digital transformation means moving away from the old way of working, the old document types. And when I say document, I don't mean physical document. I mean using Word, Excel, that type of thing, and moving into a more structured data first mentality. So if you the old thought process of digital transformation was around taking a physical document and making it available in the cloud, but you're still filling a Word doc out or a document out and that data isn't going anywhere. But changing it into a digital form where that data that you're entering is able to be reused and can be searched and used multiple times helps with the speed, the accuracy, and also it gives you a lot more data to work from in the future and to be able to get better insights.
Yeah.
So that's how I think we see it. I think customers see it in a different, can see it in a different way. Digital transformation for customers can mean getting a new laptop that's faster and does things quicker, right the way through to just putting in different software like HR systems and things like that that have more capability than they used to have.
Yeah.
So I think it's very subjective term, but from our perspective, it is about being able to reuse the data that's behind the scenes and being able to classify that information.
Yeah, I think I'd be inclined to agree with you. That'd be my interpretation as well. But with that added layer of, you know, document management. So, you know, I think historically there's been lots of unstructured data stored on endpoints and, you know, it's down to the user to be able to manage their data effectively. And that was a really big problem. And again, not finding the information you need right when it actually is needed. It's often a convoluted problem for certainly public bodies to be able to find that information when it's required. So having that document, as you mentioned, viewable and usable in the cloud and also managed in terms of its retention schedule, like who owns it? How long is it in the business for? What's the plan with it? When's it going to be deleted? And once it is deleted, can you stand in a court of law and say, look, it's deleted, but for good cause and good reason, this is our organization's retention schedule and you know, we can stand by this process robustly.
Yeah.
And data integrity as well is something that's a real problem, I think, for organizations. Understanding, like, you know, where that document has been, who's got access to it, of course, who's been editing it, copying it, moving it, all that stuff is something that's been a real problem historically.
Yeah.
And again, certainly at Gimble, we're all focused on really understanding, like, what is that document lifecycle look like?
Hmm.
Where is it? What's happening with it? And so that's this, the added extra layer I'd probably suggest that I think in, when I think about digital transformation.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Mike. So something I hear quite often from prospects, just generally in my career, mm-hmm. is that when they're looking at a new piece of tech, for example, or a new application, the question invariably comes up. Okay, so what do I do with the output of this application? Like, I get it, this is saving me money here or saving me time and it's fixing a problem for me over here, but I know that the output requires me to do X, Y, and Z to be successful. So, and that can vary depending on what we're looking at. I mean, it could be a HR application, might be a monitoring platform, or a SIEM solution, something like that.
Yep.
There is some work to do at the end. How do you think that can be managed effectively, or I won't say the objection handled, but you know, how do you think that is best responded to?
I don't know how it's best responded to, but I think the problem I see is that data silo piece. You mentioned HR systems, but there's expense systems and other systems,
yeah,
which create documents, and you know, creates a record that needs managing. However, because they're proprietary pieces of software, especially HR systems and things like that, then it's saving down that data, which then doesn't conform with all the information management, records management policies that you have on the system for all your standard data. So I do believe that there's a problem being created with all of these new SaaS products.
Yes.
That don't interlink. How that gets fixed, I think, is integration. I think the vendors need to start thinking in not just about APIs, about how you can get to information and lines of information, but how you can actually get to those documents and manage those documents within those within that data silo that
right.
they have created. So, Jason, I've got a question for you. So what's Gimble doing around records management for the mid-market sector? They seem to be a sector that's missing, that have to work with these enterprise class companies that need to be regulated?
Yes, good question. And I think the best way to answer that really is that a lot of the mid-market organizations that we speak to And for me, mid-market means sort of 200 users, perhaps up to 5,000, if we're using users as a frame of reference for mid-market.
Yep.
And I agree with you, they are underserviced in this area of document management. I think there's a confusion between records management and documents management. And certainly with Gimel, we certainly take them on a journey to really make sure that they're fully understanding what a record is as opposed to a document. And of course, we are firmly records management organization. So we're really looking at those records that are not being worked on, essentially, that are in the organization, that are regulated by compliance mandates from end to end, no matter where they exist. Like, they could be on a inbox, it could be on the file share, or it could be in Exchange. And I think that's something that we make super clear at the beginning. I think also for us, a lot of organizations that in that mid-market, unlike perhaps the, you know, enterprise, come to us during a position of pain. So that something's a problem, like they're under legal hold, or they've had an issue where something's broken, they need fixing, they need that fixing. We're highly focused and very active in that mid-market space to fix some of the document management problems that they've got, regardless of where it exists. And as you might find in enterprise, they might be firmly in the Office 365 space, and may not be the case. We're finding, again, in mid-market space that data resides all over the place. That's something we're best placed to fix. Okay, Mike, so could you sort of walk me through a journey of a prospect that engages with Office Labs? Let's say they've got a data-related challenge. Like, how do you engage with that client and walk them through your offerings, and how do you help them?
Okay, so initially there is the initial call that anyone would have, just to make sure that we can work with that customer and they can work with us. So it's a little bit of making sure that we are compatible. So we will go over who we are, our approach. We'll walk through what we expect to get out of it for the customer, and likewise we'd expect the customer to tell us what their problem is, and why they've got to where they are now. And that's really key for us. The next stage for us would then be, if the customer wanted to work with us, we would then engage in a discovery phase. In that discovery phase, that will be to go the next level back from the requirement that they've told us about, and to speak to anybody that has a touch point on that problem. So a workshop with those people to understand what the issue is and what's driven them to this point. And then the next phase out of that would be to look at what offerings are available to fix that problem, and to demo the software if that's what we need to do, and show them how it would work in their use case. And then the final part of that would be to deploy and to train and onboard those people using that solution.
I like it. Very holistic way to engage with your clients.
Excellent.
So what's your expectations then in terms of the vendors on your portfolio, and how you like to work with vendors, generally speaking? What does a good relationship look like to you?
A good vendor relationship to us is, without wanting to jump on the bandwagon of saying a partnership, but it's someone that will work with us. And that will be working with us when the times are actually more difficult, when there is an issue or something isn't going quite right, through the, maybe there's a challenge through the discovery phase, to understand what the customer needs, and maybe the software isn't quite what's needed, and maybe there's some changes, and it's discussing that and helping us discuss that or get over those problems that customer has with that solution, right the way through to people that will work with us on doing the upgrades and the future work. So there's a lot of focus in the IT industry about renewals.
Yes.
But I believe renewals is only an element of it. It's a point in time to say, right, are you still using this software? Is there actually a new piece of software out there? So, you know, there are fast moving version changes now happening in every vendor's portfolio.
Yeah.
And I think that can get missed. And I think using the renewals date is a good opportunity to go back in every time and say, right, you have got X piece of software. But if you, but there's also these other pieces that are available now, and it's a good opportunity to get more out of what they're using.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah, makes sense.
We mentioned earlier that while we were talking about GIML and AI and the impact of AI and automation and information being created, I mentioned that Office Labs has been automating workflows and been bringing automation into the workplace for 12 years in the form of workflows and using the Microsoft tools and custom tools and different vendors and things where necessary, because we're more about understanding the what solution is required from understanding the problem and speaking to the client and really getting into, as you were talking about earlier, getting into that problem-solving piece.
Yep.
Providing something that's appropriate, that's workable, that's sustainable, yep, and got some longevity in it. And then there was, I mean, there was always a need for it, and there were always organizations that wanted it. But as time's gone on with technologies like RPA coming into things like manufacturing, logistics, and where it's really valuable, and now we've got AI, which is for everyone. Mm-hmm. Every man and their dog can have an AI assistant of some form running. And it's just, again, it's just put us back in the center of those conversations.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think there needs to be a big change in the IT industry from my perspective. I think the old way of working of IT companies needs to change. And I think the way Office Labs has been for the last 12 plus years is more consultative. It's more business process consultation. And, you know, talking about records management in particular, you know, being focused down on that, that's a big, big process. That's a big change for people. So you can't just go in and say, right, here's a piece of software. There has to be a bigger conversation about what you're trying to achieve. What are you filling out? Okay, so you need it for what reason? Compliance. Okay, what compliance? There needs to, and that isn't a typical IT conversation. That's not a typical go to market for a lot of the companies that are out there. So I think that's what's really changed Office Labs. I think that's what really sets us apart, and actually being able to go in and say, we can talk records management. And as you said earlier, you know, over the years, definitely got into the automation space, but that's because we're asking, what are you trying to achieve? Right, you're doing this. So if you need your information, your records, to be able to get this information back or X information back, how are we going to do it? Okay, we can write a process to do it. Now with all of the different AI solutions and everything that's out there, we now can automate that a lot easier, and people can get that information back a lot quicker. So I think, you know, that was a natural progression from records management into process automation. And I will use the word process automation as opposed to AI, because I think, you know, AI is overused.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think that's why we're different, and we're not. We have a bunch of techies, consultants. Techies is the wrong term, really, because they're very consultative. They like to try and fix the problem, but the problem may not be a tech problem. The problem may be a process issue.
Yeah. I think that's one of the areas which does set Office Labs apart, is the two sides of bringing in a solution to a problem. Is you've got the technical. You've got that technical delivery element where something technically needs to change. We're either updating or replacing or adapting something that's either already there or doesn't exist. And not being able to go across the market is certainly helpful. We've got skills in certain areas more than others, and that's normal. But the other side of any kind of technology implementation is the people.
Yes.
And if you don't do the people side, the people element of onboarding and adoption and migration, then you're only doing half the job. And still now, I was explaining earlier to Jason on one of his questions, there are organizations out there that are still having things done to them.
Yes.
They're being migrated, they're being moved, they're having their tools, which ultimately their working practices and their behaviors are being forcibly changed because the business has made a decision to go in a certain route, possibly financial. You know, I'll go out on a limb there and say it might be a financially driven choice to use a certain tool set, but without the backup and without the onboarding and supporting of people going forward, you're not going to realize that cost saving isn't going to happen.
No, I think the people are the key element out of what you've just said. And I think because there is no pressure to sell licenses, we're only talking about how we can help that customer change and get a result for that customer. And I think that really helps. And from our perspective, that's why it's refreshing working with people like Jason and Gimel, where they understand that's where we're coming from. We're not there just to sell a license. We're there to actually help fix a problem for the customer.
Yeah.
And there are many vendors out there that have that mentality. They're about how many people they can bring on each month, how many licenses they can sell a month.
Yeah.
And IT's forgotten the core. When it all first came out a million years ago when I was an engineer, it was about the professional services element. It was about the engagement piece. Mm-hmm. That, for a lot of vendors, has dropped away.
Mm.
A lot of vendors have got rid of their professional services arms. They subcontracted it out so that there's no love in that element.
Mm.
They just want that licensing sale. And I think that needs to change. And I think that's why Office Labs is different, because we only talk about the professional services element. We only talk about what the result is for the customer.
Yeah. It is about the outcome. It's about the value brought. You've got to feel like you've delivered something of value, that you've made a difference to an organization. Because up front, when we talk openly with clients, it's about, we talk about what we do, and we bring change, which isn't always, it's not always welcomed with open arms.
Not at all.
It doesn't make. I don't know. Should be open to change.
I think that's the reason why our discovery sessions work.
Mm.
Because we're engaging with different people within the organisation, so they feel part of that conversation. Whereas, as you said earlier, people have had software forced on them, and they don't understand why they've got it, and they've not been party to it. So actually, to have that engagement, understand whether they agree or not, but they've been party to it, so they understand what the business is trying to achieve. I think that works really well.
And it's interesting when we talk about the change of IT and the change of the industry. If we also look at internal IT teams, so there was this drive for cloud-based services on the promise that the IT people will get more involved in the business process side of things because there'll be less to do as an admin and administrative functions. Do you think that's played out? I don't think it's played out the way they promised. I think I think the IT teams are as pushed and as pressured and have as much to do, if not more, than they ever did.
I think they've got more to do now because there's less of them. They've got more hats to wear, as we were talking to Jason earlier. They're having to be security. They're having to be business. They're having to be first line support and also third line support. I think things have changed. I think from a records management perspective, I think we talked Jason earlier about the mid-market. And I know we have an idea to work with our customers with a managed service for information management.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on the information management as a service, as an overlay?
So you talk about the many hat in an organization, and there are IT teams we're speaking to that have taken on the role as compliance or DPO. It shouldn't be their responsibility to do the compliance and the DPO piece. It's there's an acceptance that you have a separate security person. So there's a security officer, there's a role, a security role, who's got that responsibility. There should be responsibility for in the information management space. So Office Labs do have an information management as a service capability, which we can bring in, which can use tools like the GIML suite, the tools within 365 that's already embedded there, or in whatever you've got in Box, in Google, that we can actually monitor, manage, and maintain, and make sure that information lifecycle is being appropriately managed, to make sure that your policies in that organization that you have to adhere to, that they're actually being brought to bear, they're actually being actioned within the business.
Yep.
Because there are people with knowledge, there are people writing policies. You've got your C-level who have ultimate responsibility for the information. They have the policies, they have the processes which they have to follow, they have the standards which they have to meet. But then as it passes down the organization, where does that responsibility lie? And asking the already overworked IT team, oh, by the way, can you also act as a DPO for us?
Yep.
Oh, by the way, can you also manage these DSARS requests for us? It's asking a huge amount. And that's something which we can provide as a continual service to work alongside the business and the IT team. So it's creating that extra bridge and that extra capability in the business. I think to start with the first question, working with GIML, an experience of working with GIML with clients as well. I mentioned earlier about it's about putting together the delivery team, the capability team,
yep,
and having people from the GIML side of the fence with ourselves and the client in the room. We've got everything that's needed to bring that to realization,
yep,
and actually turn it into something viable and realistic and with a proper return on investment. Because you've got the technical capability, you've got the depth of the knowledge in information management on the GIML side, and you've got that real bring it in implementation piece,
yep,
on Office Labs side.
Yeah.
So what does it look like for real change and the change management and the behavior management, and are we doing what does the pace look like? What does the cadence look like? How are we working with the client's expectations?
I think there's working with GIML on our customers, because it is such a partnership, having a technical person working alongside from GIML, working alongside our techies, I think that really brings a gravitas. Some of the enterprise customers we've completed deployments with, or GIML Link as an example, and other products, they've liked the fact that GIML's engaged, not just from a sales level.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really, really welcomed the fact that there is a technical person from GIML available on those calls when we're deploying, so it speeds up any issues.
Yes.
That arise, and we get to a fix a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Whereas other vendors, will let us do all the deployment, so that if there is a problem, then we've got to contact them. And, you're probably talking days, weeks until we get a fix. Whereas, mm-hmm, we are talking probably within 24 hours, we can get over problems because we're working so closely with GIML.
That's a really good point. The responsiveness that we've had and the ability to keep moving forward and answer questions as they come up makes a big difference.
Yeah. No, I think, it's, it is that technical engagement as well as the sales engagement. Having a very close sales engagement with Gimmel and the customers, especially around the renewals mm-hmm. element. You know, the customer is able to speak to Gimmel as well as us
mm-hmm.
to actually understand what the next steps are.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a change to happen, you know, how long is that piece of software going to be available? All of those type of questions that anyone would ask that's using a business critical piece of software.
There is there's real value in being able to speak to the Gimmel team directly, because they take the feedback, they ask for feedback, and they accept it, and you get immediate answers. So we have had that with certain features. Are these features going to be available? Are they going to stay available? Are they going to be improved? Are we going to see these new features coming? When is that going to be part of the roadmap? And it's been, well, we'll check with the developers, and it comes back, and you get a proper answer. So that is something unusual these days. It's you're usually a couple of layers separated away from getting the right answer, and often it is the salespeople up front that are answering on behalf of their own development team,
yeah.
and they might not always have the right information.
So Graham, how would you typically position Gimmel to customers that are already using 365?
365's got a lot of capability now, and it's growing, it's increasing with Purview and the functionality that's coming into play to categorize with labels, sensitivity labels, with retention management, lifecycle management. So a lot of the basic components are there. So where organizations are being selective, maybe, or just looking at requirements and governments and governance and compliance needs, and being subjective about it and taking on what they need to do, those 365 elements can be enough. There's no two ways about it. It can be enough to manage life cycle.
Yeah.
But then it very quickly escalates. So if you start to look in the DSARS frame, and you've got to find information and be very specific about your searches and pull back data and legal holds as well, they can get quite complex quite quickly. And again, the fundamentals are covered within 365 at a cost.
Mm-hmm.
So by escalate quickly, I mean that you can soon be extending your Purview licensing, your Azure licensing to cover. You can be suddenly, you know, it's you're adding £3, £4, £5 a head on top just to get the capability that you need. The where we would start to bring Gimmel into the conversation is around the level of requirements from the client. So if the client is saying they have a particular, they would like to have a level of categorization of information, and then be able to put some actions around it and move data, say based on a category, or they want to report to a certain depth, or report have quite a comprehensive report of their data. That's when we start to bring Gimmel into the conversation, because that's where the 365 environment starts to run out of steam. Comprehensive reporting is definitely one level. There's a lot of information in 365. Can you press a button and get a full chart, a comprehensive chart out of it? No. But in the Gimmel products, you can. And with the complexity of rules and retention, mix in sensitivity labels, mix in lifecycle management, and then mix in location of where information is stored, then it starts to get beyond the complexity of 365.
So would you say, from what you're saying, then it's probably, if it's out of the normal requirements within 365, that's where Gimmel really comes to life. So things like physical documents, so you can link physical documents up with 365, and other storage solutions to 365. So, for example, SAP to 365. And is that where you see Gimmel really also helps?
I think we've got to be a bit careful, because we're not talking about edge cases. We're not talking about out too far out of the norm. These are normal information management processes, but it's just where an organization either has that requirement because of legal needs, so they've got a governance need they have to meet, and 365 is built for the masses. It's built to serve everybody's needs, so it will only go to a certain depth and certain complexity. Whereas those organizations that have that legal requirement or their own quality level, which they want to meet, or another board or whatever it is, whatever the organization is that's bringing that level of compliance in, that need, 365, you're going to end up cobbling something together and paying a huge amount on licensing and not really getting to the point. What you mentioned about paper records is really interesting. There's nothing in 365 that'll touch paper records. Not unless you want to make your own barcode system in Power Apps or something. Don't do it. But there's nothing which provides that. But what the Gimmel products do is it does extend 365. So it will bring the paper records into SharePoint. So you can do a digital search over a paper record or a box or a shelf or a location. That's hugely powerful, because what it means is you can start to put retention records around your paper and start to get rid of your paper. So you can actually manage it out of existence. Hugely beneficial. So it's about bringing the right solution in at the right time in the conversation, depending on the requirements that are put in front of us. Mike, what's your one takeaway from today, from just talking about information management, governance, compliance, and automation?
The one takeaway I've got is a business takeaway, and there's a huge opportunity mid to low market. If we can educate that space that they actually will benefit from records management and information management, there is a huge marketplace there that are massively at risk currently.
I'm going to double down on that, because my takeaway is to bring the conversation and the decisions into what's being decided early on. So from the outset, if new systems are being thought about, architected, if new products are being brought in, if the vision or if the direction of the business is in any way starting to change or wants to change and wants to grow, I think that's the big one. If an organization is growing from the small to the mid market, they're going to be experiencing some significant growing pains. They're going to be looking for quick fixes, for solutions to new problems which they won't have encountered before. So how do we stop doing stuff in a spreadsheet? How do we stop doing things in the standalone database? How do we switch off that service, which is giving us a massive headache? How are we going to manage our supply chain, which is now growing, which is now increasing? And I think it's going to make a big difference. So, and bring information management into the conversation straight away.
Excellent.
Well, thanks for your time joining us on today's podcast. If you like what you've heard today, do not forget to like, subscribe, and hit that bell icon for the notifications. And we'll see you in the next one. Thank you.